Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if you were like me and locked in to Game 4 of the WNBA Finals last night, but it was something. It was something. And so I thought about, as I was approaching this show this weekend, who did I want to talk to, especially about the Lynx, knowing that they were going to win Game 4 and force a Game 5 on Sunday night. And who better to bring on than our old friend, our old colleague, who has gone on to bigger and better things, as we all knew she would, Sloan Martin, joining us here on WCCO Radio. Sloan, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for the invite, Dan. Cool to hear you in the big chair.
Right?
And I this is a good thing to go over because I have yet to catch my breath, frankly, from last night.
Yeah, it is actually a big chair. That's what's interesting is they do have a gigantic chair here at the host position that you get to sit in. So first thing, Sloan, looking at the WNBA Finals here, it's really a shame. I was thinking this all last night. It's really a shame that these two teams haven't produced a better series. I mean, it's not been entertaining at all. There hasn't been any high level of play. It hasn't gone down to the wire. Why have these two teams failed to provide us with the entertainment we so richly deserve?
I know. They're like making us decide, is this the greatest final series of all time or just one of the greatest? And I wish they would just make a decision and then just decide if they're going to be the best of all time. But, you know, they have this last and final game that I think might make that determination. It's the first time a WNBA Finals has gone to 5 games since 2019. And the fight of the Minnesota Lynx was on display last night. Some clutch free throws from Bridget Carlton to seal the game. And it has been, even with the first couple games, teams going up by double figures each time, the opponent roaring back to make it close and chaotic and completely unknown who's going to win.
Yeah, we've seen that in several games. Last night, that wasn't necessarily the case in terms of the big lead, right? There were 13 ties and 14 lead changes, and I don't think either team led by more than 6 points. Last night was the definition of a nail-biter at Target Center, and whatever people paid for those tickets, they got their money's worth.
And that is absolutely right. I was in the stands and got to see these last couple of games 3 and 4, right in front of me. And you're right, it is getting your money's worth for sure. And, I mean, the entire stadium, which has been full, including setting an all-time Lynx attendance record for Game 3, over 19,000 people in the stands, which is amazing progress to see. It has never been louder in that arena before. And I say it as someone who usually when I'm there is also listening to a broadcast in my ear at the same time. So it has been wildly entertaining. The fans, the passion has been outstanding. Even walking back to the car through the skyway, people are chanting inside, outside, just so much passion for what could be the first championship for this franchise since 2017.
So coming into this series, I want to look big picture for just a second. Honestly, not a great WNBA mind here necessarily, but you know, you follow it and you start to learn a few things. It seemed to me coming into the series, New York had a serious experience advantage, right? They were in the finals last year and got beat by Las Vegas. They've got multiple multi-time all-stars. It seemed like, even though the Lynx had played them very well in terms of the regular season, that you know, the Liberty had cruised through the playoffs. They were in great shape. It really kind of set up for them to dominate this series, and then they come out in game one, you know, and get up with that big double-digit lead, and you think, okay, here we go. What have the Lynx done? What is it about the Lynx that makes them so well-suited to compete with this team?
They are epitomized by selflessness, that they don't care whose night it is. You have a superstar in the Nafisa Collier who sets the tone with that kind of personality. This team had the highest assist rate in the WNBA this season. They share the ball superbly. It is beautiful basketball to watch, but I remember even early on, head coach Cheryl Reeve saying, this is a team that just problem solves. They just work it out. And that's something that takes good listeners. It takes people who are not defensive. And it takes great teamwork and respect for each other as well. So the chemistry has been completely off the charts. And I think that combined with the coaching and the skill of these players blossoming in these roles that they've embraced has made them get to the point where they are right now.
I thought it was really interesting last night. You know, the Liberty held Fee to 14 points. I mean, she still gets the double-double with 10 rebounds, which you would think, if you're going to hold Nafisa Collier down like that, given how she's performed in this series, that would probably lead to a New York win. But the rest of the lineup really stepped up. I mean, they had, what, five players in double figures last night? You have McBride with 19 and Williams with 15. Carlton and Smith both had 12. I mean, like you said, it's this team concept that really has defined the Lynx's season this year.
And that's the epitome of Lynx basketball, where even if Nafisa Collier has been putting up 30 points prior to the finals, she had the highest scoring playoffs in WNBA history to that point. It can be anyone's night on any given night. I have been particularly so impressed with Courtney Williams, who has been fearless. She has only been, this is only her second year being a WNBA point guard. She had played off the ball throughout her entire career, and the way she's able to set up teammates, she wants the big shot in those big moments. There have been so many others who have stepped up at different times. Alana Smith, not entirely healthy right now. And then you have Dorca Juhas, who is a DNP coach's decision in game three, comes in and has, well, she's zero, plus minus, basically, which is a really positive thing when you are going up against Brianna Stewart, Jonquel Jones. She was so huge off the bench for Minnesota. It has just been this machine that has operated so fluidly all season long. But, you know, you talk about the balance, but it was also the defense. Brianna Stewart, one of the best on the planet in terms of basketball players, 5 for 21. The defense has just been always the reliable thing for this team.
You're always, as usual, a step ahead of me, but that's exactly where I was going to go, because Stewart and then Ionescu, who hit, of course, the huge buzzer beater three to win game three, combined last night to go 10 for 36 and 0 for 9 on threes. Is that just a factor of the Lynx smothering defense, or did they have an off night? Is it a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two, but honestly, not entirely surprising. I think Brianna Stewart has not been as efficient this season as we expect her to be as someone who's a multi-time MVP and champion in the WNBA. And then Sabrina can sometimes have those off nights too. And then you can see it early on and you think, okay, keep shooting then. You're doing us a favor at this point. So I think that those things combined, they started out slow and cold from the very beginning. And then it just felt like this is an opportunity you have to pounce on, because it is hard to get those kind of performances from those high caliber players.
Free throws were, they had more of them than the Liberty did, attempts anyway, the Lynx did. But free throws were a bit of a struggle early on. They weren't knocking them down at the rate that you'd like to see them. But then you get down to the end of the game, and here's the two biggest free throws probably of her career for Bridget Carlton, and she knocks both of them down. How hard is it, and they talked about it a little bit in the postgame, but how hard is it at the end of a game, as hard fought as that is, to stand 16 feet away from the hoop and knock down two shots like that?
Oh, boy. I mean, you know what? These professionals would tell you I practice this a million times. I have shot hundreds of thousands of free throws in my entire life. So for them, it feels like it's just that muscle mechanics, that muscle memory, and they know exactly what to do. But you're right that this type of situation is completely different. It's going to feel different for these players for sure. I think it's so impressive what Bridget Carlton was able to do, the kind of season she's had, how she has blossomed this year into one of the best role players in the WNBA, and then to just so confidently knock them down. Luckily, you have a tie game, you know, to help you out. That puts you ahead. Maybe that also helps mentally, too, but it is entirely a stressful moment.
Really, really fun to watch them pull off that win in Game 4 and force a Game 5. I want to talk about Coach Reeve for a minute. She won Executive of the Year, Coach of the Year. I mean, she's done everything you could do as a coach. She's a, you know, no mortal lock Hall of Famer as a head coach. But I do wonder, given the lack of big-time names on this roster, as well as they've played, the way that they've gelled together, is this perhaps the best job she's ever done coaching a basketball team?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And this might be because Reeve has talked about how she's had to evolve as a coach, where it's just different way you coach players now compared to maybe what she was used to, and especially coming up in this game as well. When you have that dynasty team and players that are made in a lab for skill, for teammates, for work ethic, and you get all five of them and you win four championships with them. And then kind of take a step back and you're drafting, you know, 7th, 8th overall, you're outside of the lottery. How is this team getting better? And Reeve even pointed to, you know, unlike New York, we just weren't pulling in those big free agents. We had to find, how are we going to do this our way? And they have found that way. But I think what makes this year maybe the most impressive of Reeve's career is the way these players, and I keep using that word, have blossomed into the players that we are seeing right now. Alanna Smith was cut from a terrible franchise in the Indiana Fever, which they were at the time, one of the losingest teams in the WNBA, didn't have a team, was not on a team. Now second team all defense. You look at Courtney Williams the same way, who she's brought up the bench with Dorka Juhas, Myesha Hines-Allen, Nafisa Collier. We've always known that she's an insanely talented player, but to become who she is now, this lethal superstar, has been absolutely tremendous to see that kind of growth.
There was a lot of eyebrows raised when she passed on Angel Reese in the draft. A lot of folks wondered about that move. But given the way this team has gelled together and been kind of a vibes team, and this isn't a knock on Angel necessarily, but there was a certain style that she wanted to play this year, and clearly it's been successful. So, you know, winning that Executive of the Year award is probably very well deserved as well.
You know what, that's a good point. And, you know, to be honest, I was never one of those people that raised an eyebrow at that decision. Someone who, you know, does a lot of broadcasting in women's college basketball. The Minnesota Lynx wanted to be a team that is five out. And then you also look at this is the best shooting team in the WNBA as well, along with the New York Liberty, where Angel was shooting, you know, I think she ended the season before her injury, shooting 43% around the rim, which is just, you know, really tough. I know she's going to improve quite a bit. She's only a rookie right now. But you just look at the way this team fits together, and it's hard to imagine any other combinations.
So let's talk about the league as a whole, because I would contend, and again, you know, not claiming to be a great WNBA mind, but, you know, following it a little bit, especially with the success that the Lynx have had. But with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and, to a degree, Cameron Brink and some of the other talent that's come in, and the success in terms of ratings and the success of these finals obviously have been fantastic. Is this the best year in league history?
I would say, oh gosh, that is so hard because it's been kind of a bittersweet moment for so many longtime fans, and I would put myself in that category as well, where you're so excited to see this growth. You're excited to see tickets be in high demand, but then, you know, season ticket holders are being priced out, where you have so much respect for these players who have no longer played or not playing anymore. Like Lauren Jackson, who won 2-3 MVPs, was one of my favorite players growing up, my favorite player in high school. So it's hard to say, oh, well, now we're really where we need to be. I think the way we look at it is saying this has been maybe the most monumental year where we can still appreciate that talent of the past. It certainly is a transcendent moment for the league as well. It's fun to get those new eyeballs as well, but still keeping in mind the history that came before, what's drawn us to women's basketball. But there's no denying the metrics, looking at the TV ratings, looking at audience, you know, for attendance is the word I'm looking for, jersey sales, all those things, even outside of Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever and Angel Reese as well. I think you can't say anything but it has been insanely positive and just a huge swell of momentum, maybe bigger in any one season that we've ever seen.
Of course, it's not going to be very long, but we're going to be into college season, as you talked about being a college broadcaster. And there's a whole nother wave of talent that's coming, right? We're obviously very familiar with Paige Beckers in this neck of the woods, but Juju Watkins and Flo J. Johnson and the machine that is the South Carolina Gamecocks women's basketball team. There's a great, exciting college season coming, and another large wave of talent going to be hitting the WNBA for the following season.
That is what's really exciting to keep in mind. Hannah Hidalgo of Notre Dame goes in that category too. She averaged about 26 points per game last season as well. I think this does feel like a sea change in terms of the talent coming in, but also the eyes that are simultaneously seeing these players that they'll want to continue to follow as well as they start their WNBA careers. And I think that is what has been so exciting in this case too. And kind of a question for women's basketball fans for so long. We have so much passion. We have the TV viewership, the attendance at the college level. How do we continue that? I think that is that next kind of stepping stone that we're getting to, where it's like, I really love watching this player in college. Let's continue that journey and see what they're able to do at the next level.
Yeah, that's a neat thing to see the growth in the game like that. All right, so game five tomorrow night in New York, 7 o'clock is the tip time. Answer me this. The Lynx win if this happens.
Oh, boy. That is a tough one, because the first thing I want to say is if their shooting is on, I think Kayla McBride getting hot to start for really developing and really pushing their presence at the three-point line early on is going to be very important. I thought that was key in game four, not getting behind. You could point to just playing on the road in general. This is a Lynx team that had over 30 wins in the regular season. They know how to win on other teams' courts, but it's hard to put a stamp on anything, Dan, because it's a game five. Yeah. This is all-out effort. This is what these players have literally played for their entire lives to get to this point and to this moment. So it's hard, incredibly hard to predict. But I would say Minnesota with a very good start, especially from the three-point line, because you can't predict again if Sabrina and Brianna Stewart are going to have that off of a night. I would not predict that again. So it's being disciplined, but I think especially lighting it up from three to make that statement and keep it close.
Yeah, you're probably not going to have much success betting against those women. They are fantastic, fantastic talents. And either way this goes, it's going to have been a great series. Outside of a blowout, which I can't possibly see happening in a Game 5 situation like that, this has just been a phenomenal series, and I fully anticipate it's going to continue to be so. Sloan, you can catch Sloan Martin calling games on Big Ten Network and Fox Sports. Sloan, thank you so much for taking the time today. It's a thrill to always talk to you and to have you on my very first show on WCCO Radio. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dan. You're doing great, and reach out anytime.
See, I told you, John, you just have to give them $5 and then they'll say really nice things about you on the radio. It's really nice. Thank you, Sloan.
Yeah, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bitcoin.
There you go. Yeah, Bitcoin. It's coming. It's coming.